Now we're going to have a couple of letters. Okay, and Michelle, where do these letters come from?
The first one's from Gardner, Massachusetts.
All right.
It says, Dear Pastor Alamo, how are you? Greetings to you and all your fellow workers in Christ. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you in your work for Him of preaching the truth about His Word and winning souls to Christ. May He supply your every need and continue to show favor upon you and your family and your ministry. I thank you, sir, for putting and keeping me on your mailing list. Your newsletters have truly been a blessing for me. Here is a true story about me concerning you and your newsletters and how God answers prayer. When I was in Florida, waiting extradition to Massachusetts, one night I was in deep distress and calling out to God for Him to send me someone to help me. I was on my bunk, and 5 minutes later I looked down on a table beside me, and there was one of your newsletters entitled Free. At first I was reluctant to pick it up and read it because I was afraid it might belong to someone, but finally I did, and I read it, and it made me feel better and confirmed so many truths I already knew. I read it about 3 times between that night and a day, and have been blessed by it and your newsletters and ministries ever since. Thank you. I recently read one of your newsletters entitled Accepting the Discipline of the Holy Spirit. It is definitely one of the biggest things I have ever read besides the Bible. After reading the first paragraphs, I knew I was going to hang on to it and read and study the scriptures of it more intensely. My request, sir, is that you please send, if you would, 20 more of the same so I can hand them out here to the brothers in Christ and anyone else willing to read them, so that they...
Make sure that they send other pieces of literature in the Messiah book, too.
Yes.
All right, then what?
So that they may be blessed by it also. Here in NCCI, there is a great need for the true meaning and truth of the Word of God. There is a great need for God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is tough at times being incarcerated, having to deal with everything one must deal with. But I just abide in God and His Word and pray and pray. Sometimes I am overwhelmed by how much there is to pray for. So I ask and thank you in advance for 20 more of Accepting the Discipline of the Holy Spirit. It is highly appreciated and words cannot express how grateful I would be. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. 1 Peter 3:15-16. May God bless you abundantly. May He always be with you and strengthen and guide you continually. May He keep all of you in His tender, loving care. May the peace of Christ, which transcends all understanding, dwell in your hearts and souls forever. Amen. Your friend in Christ, D.T. from Gardner, Massachusetts.
Oh, very nice letter. Make sure he gets everything. And where's the next letter from?
From Dola, Zambia, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Alamo, how are you? I hope and pray that this letter will reach you well. With me, everything is fine. I am very, very grateful for your favorable considerations for sending me the most sought-after book, The Messiah, and other literature. Pastor Alamo, I am a very careful person when it comes to reading Christian magazines and other Christian literature. My reason of being skeptical of some so-called Christian magazines is because they preach and teach things contrary to the Word of God, the Bible. Be on guard against the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Pastor Alamo, you write your Christian literature with wisdom. Your literature has helped me to grow spiritually to another level and to understand fully the prophecy of the Scriptures. The article of the prophet Ezekiel about the dry bones awakened my mind, for many people are spiritually dead. Wickedness has now reached its highest capacity. What I have noticed is that many people have wandered away from God, including the clergy. They have lost their integrity and dignity because of the love of money, which is the source of all evil. Pastor Alamo, I will share more in my next letter. I will send you my testimony. I left my evil ways in November of 2003, and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Before I became born again, I was a drunkard. During this year, I went to Zimbabwe to study missions training, and since then I have witnessed the evil of so many so-called pastors. I always thank God for rescuing me from my wicked ways. The more money I had, the more sinful I became. Praise God, I have now found peace and rest in Jesus Christ. Pastor Alamo, you are very sincere and selfless. Sir, if it's possible, will you please send me the book entitled The Fugitive Pope and Other Literatures? Bibles in my country cost K$50,000, which is equal to US$10. If it's possible, you can send me some. Pass my regards to your family members and all those who help you in the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, bless you abundantly. Yours faithfully, J.M.S. from Dola, Zambia.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Now, did the people, so there was a man that called, we just bought a bed for J.L. Downs, a hospital bed, and that man wanted some of my literature when I was talking to him on the phone. Did somebody send it to him? You have to check tonight, wake him up in the, and make sure that that got out immediately. I want it FedEx Press to him. Okay?
Yes.
I want the Messiah book and several pieces of literature, including my testimonial tracks, Signs of the Time and Dry Bones. All right, now we have the fourth in the series of we had dealing with the flesh, and now this is dealing with self, which is closely related to dealing with the flesh. This is part four. Go ahead.
There's a difference of seven items that I want you to know. Now that we have clearly seen the definition of self, you are going to want to, and you need to, see the difference in seven related items, the self. The old man is one of the items of self. Two is the I, the second item of self. The soul.
The I meaning I, me, okay, not your eyeball, okay? You have to explain that because, you know, second is the I, no. It's the me, the I, the self, okay? So first is what?
The old man is one of the items
no,
of self.
No, it's number one, okay, and then number two is the me, the I. Okay, I. Then what?
The soul life is the third item of self.
The kind of life you live, the soul, self-life. Then what?
The flesh is the fourth item of self.
Okay.
The temper is the fifth item of self. The self is the sixth item of self. And the natural constitution, what you're made of, is the seventh item related to self. If you wish to pursue the experience of life through the cross, you should know the definition and difference between these seven items. You need to know them clearly, very clearly, because these are the very objects of the dealing of the self through the cross, and also the dealing of the cross to destroy self. So let's first give a simple definition to each
now,
of these.
Now, what is the cross? Walking in the Spirit. The cross is the Spirit, amen?
Amen.
People, if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh. So the only thing that destroys the flesh is the cross, which is the Holy Spirit, amen?
Amen.
Now how soon are you removed from the knowledge of that, all right? My, we just had many messages on that. Okay, then what?
So let's first give a simple definition to each of these seven items. The old man refers to our very being, the created and fallen man.
Right, because we were created by God, and then we fell because of Satan. Amen?
Amen.
So it's the same person. The only thing is we were born saved, and then our mother and father, Adam and Eve, Eve and Adam, fell, and so we all are the offspring of Eve and Adam. Then what?
Quote, the I, unquote, is the title which the old man calls himself. The old man is the, quote, I, unquote, and the, quote, I, unquote, is the old man.
Yeah, because when you hear people say, I did the, and I, and I, and I, okay, well then you're listening to the old man. And who is the old man?
The devil.
You don't have to say it so sheepishly. It's the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
The soul life is the life of the old man.
Mm-hmm.
The life that the old man possesses is the soul life. These three, the old man, the I, and the soul life, are all one and the same. The old man is the man of the old creation, which is fallen, which is in Adam because of Eve. And the soul life is the life of this old man. And, quote, I, unquote, is the title which the old man calls himself.
So the old man is who?
The devil.
Adam. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord is the new man, and Adam is the old man. Amen?
Amen.
Adam listens to the devil, and the new man, the one that starts believing in God again, in Christ, that's the new man. All right? Then what?
The flesh is the living out of the old man, or the living of the old man. Satan lives out his life in the flesh, or the living of the old man. Before our soul life is lived out, it is simply the old man. But once it is lived out, it is the flesh.
When you start living according to the old man, you're living according to the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
The temper is man's natural disposition, especially referring to the bad temperaments.
Yeah, impatience. I want something now. And if I don't, I'm going to be irritable. Amen? Then what?
Self, as we have seen, is the soul life as expressed in the human idea and the human opinion. The natural constitution is our natural ability, capabilities, and our wit. If we join these seven items together, we may say the following things about what I said. There is a created fallen man whose name is the old man, the devil. He calls himself, quote, I, unquote. The life within him is the soul life, which when being lived out is the flesh. In this flesh there is a part which is bad, the irritability and anger which is called the temper. In the flesh there is also a good part, the opinion and idea of which is called the self, and the ability and capability of which is called the natural constitution.
What you're composed of. Okay, which your construction. How you were constructed by Satan. Amen. By Adam. Then what?
These seven items are the objects of the dealing of the cross. Yet these dealings are different. They all differ. In the whole Bible, we find no reference which says that the Lord has put our soul life, flesh, temper, self, or the natural constitution on the cross. We can only find that out by finding out that our old man has been crucified with the Lord, with Christ on the cross. Romans 6, verse 6. What the Lord has crucified and put to an end on the cross is our old man. This is a fact which the Lord has accomplished.
Yeah, in other words, he put away Adam for us. And then he gives us the Spirit to walk after the new man. Amen?
Amen.
Because the cross, or in other words, the Holy Spirit, crucifies the old man. Amen? And so the Lord gives us that by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
When we accept him into our heart. When the Lord enters our mortal body, the Holy Spirit, he comes in by the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and that crucifies the old man in us. And then it's up to us to continue carrying the cross. In other words, carrying, being led or being carried by the Holy Spirit. Being born. Born, airborne means you're flying by the Spirit. Born by the Spirit. Airborne. Born by the air. Air, breath, spirit, it's all the same word in Hebrew. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to be born of the Spirit. Led about by the Spirit. Not the old man anymore. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord crucified the old man for us, And then he resurrected from the dead. And now we resurrect from the dead by his spirit being born, flying into us. And what we do is we can fly away to the Lord. We can be up there in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
I believe I can fly. Amen?
Amen.
I believe I can touch the Lord up in the sky, but he's in my heart too. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so that's what it means to be born of the Spirit. We're airborne if we want to be. And we need to be airborne all the time. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
When we see this fact, when we are able to see this fact, when we are able to see this fact spiritually and acknowledge that the Lord has done away with the old man on the cross, then we can say, quote, I am crucified with Christ, unquote.
In other words, I've got the same spirit he has. He wanted to be faithful to the Lord, even to the death of the cross. And if we are like him, then we want to be, we are allow the old man, our old man, which is Adam, to be crucified on the cross with Christ, because Christ crucified the old man for us on the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Makes sense?
Yes.
Could you understand it?
Yes.
Capito? Mm-hmm. Comprende? Verstehen? You understand. Okay, good. That's good. Everybody understands. Then what?
That was Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and chapter 6, verse 14. These two references acknowledge what the Lord has done for us. After this acknowledgement, we need to experience this cross.
See, we can have confidence that the old man is dead because Christ never sinned, nor did he ever disobey God. And so he went to the cross for us, and the flesh, he let his flesh symbolize our flesh, be the symbolic meaning of our flesh, and let it be crucified, showing that it was because that he never did what the flesh told him to do with all the temptations that befell him. He still didn't do what the flesh said to do, and the flesh always wants its life to be saved, wants to be preserved. And so he says, in so many words, forget the flesh, man. Crucify it. Amen?
Amen.
And so that shows us that we are to let our flesh be crucified. It must be that it's important to let the flesh be crucified, otherwise he wouldn't have done it. Because he said, let this cup pass. If there's any other way for people to be saved than this, then I don't want you to go through this. Because even his flesh was tempted, but he said, nevertheless, if there's no other way for people to be saved, for the old man to be crucified, then let this flesh that never sinned, I never let this flesh of mine sin, let it be crucified so I can show other people that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The flesh, there's no profit in the flesh whatsoever except to be a container for the Holy Spirit to live in. There's no purpose for the flesh except to carry the cross, to carry the Spirit. Are you a Spirit-carrying person? Are you born by the Spirit, born of the Spirit? Well, if not, you better get busy and let your old man be crucified so that let the Spirit in so that he can do it for you. Because if you try to do it on your own, you'll never be successful. The Lord took care of that on the cross for you. All you need to do is receive it and then just live according to it. All right? Then what?
After this acknowledgement, we need to experience this cross when dealing with these last five items. Our soul life, our flesh,
right,
our...
because the Spirit has to put a screeching halt to the kind of life you lived before, the kind of life your flesh wants to live. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
Our temper.
Yeah, you just... whenever you get hot, go into the room for a little bit and I say, am I really to have the right to be angry at what this is going? Lord, am I right in being angry at this particular situation? Or do I realize the situation that I'm in? Is this where you want me to be? Is this where my soul will be saved? Is the environment that you've created for me? Would it be better for me to be back in my old ways, in the ways of Adam, so I could do what I wanted to, and then at the end, go to the place where no one wants to go? Why don't we think about that? Don't you think we ought to? Yes. Can you read that again?
After this acknowledgement, we need to experience this cross when dealing with these last five items.
Yes.
Our soul life, our flesh, our temper, our self, and our natural constitution. Therefore, the whole experience of the cross lies in the following Therefore, the whole experience of the cross lies in the following three steps. First, the crucifying of our old man, which is an objective fact accomplished by the Lord, by Christ.
A what fact?
Objective.
All right, I thought you said something. That's right, objective fact. That's the object. That was the object of the Lord, and his object is that we take advantage of that which the Lord has done for us. That's the objective that we should have, is the Lord provided something for us to kill the old man, and our object should be, our objective, just like the objective was to bomb Hiroshima, amen? They didn't go over and bomb Windham, Montana. But the object was to go over there and do that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, our objective is to take advantage of what the Lord did for us. And it seems, well, it doesn't cost anything. No money, because everybody places the big value on money. But not what the Lord has done. But what the Lord has done is far more beneficial than money. Amen?
Amen.
Because we can't take money into the kingdom of heaven with us. Not even one farthing. Not even a pence. Amen?
Amen.
And so why should we be all hung up in money when money, there's plenty of it in heaven. It's gold. The streets are made out of the gutters, the streets, the curbs are made out of gold. So it's a put down there. We walk on money up there. Amen?
Amen.
Because all currency is based on gold, supposed to be, anyway. All right, then what?
Secondly, when we acknowledge and receive this fact, it becomes, quote, I am crucified with Christ, unquote. Third, when we go on to experience this fact subjectively, when we subject ourselves to this, it puts us under the subjection of the Holy Spirit for this.
Yes, and when we subject ourselves to the Holy Spirit, truly, we've accepted the crucifixion of the Lord into our self. And when we do that, it kills self. Amen. And then we're walking after the Lord. It's only the Lord's life that remains. Then we begin doing or allowing the Lord to do his own work. Then it begins to be the work of the Lord. Instead of the work of self. Lord, did I not do a great and mighty work for you? Oh, God, well, look at this, what I did. That's the I. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
There are five different points which are due to the five different aspects of the old man. First, the old man has a soul life which, when being lived out, is expressed in the flesh, temper, self, and the natural constitution. As we apply in our experience the crucifixion of Christ through the Holy Spirit to our soul life, that is, dealing with the soul life.
Right. Now, in other words, if you're still, like your mother might have a real bad temperament, maybe she doesn't like to talk, maybe she's real snippy, and so you fashioned yourself after your mother who's walking in Adam. She's not a communicator, and therefore she can't communicate her anything from the Lord to others. And so you've chosen to communicate her rather than to die by allowing yourself to die by receiving the crucifixion of the old man which Christ provided for us into your spirit so that you can be like him instead of your mother or your father, your dad. Okay, forget about them. Anyone that puts mother or father before the Lord is not worthy of him. Amen?
Amen.
Did I hit a sore spot? Anyone who putting mother or father, sister or brother, son or daughter, or anything or anybody before the Lord is not worthy of him. They didn't do anything for you. Christ killed your old man. Amen?
Amen.
In his flesh. And he wants it to be in you, his cross, so that you can say that you've been crucified with Christ on the cross. Amen?
Amen.
That your old man was crucified there. Amen?
Amen.
But I'm a woman. Why wasn't there a woman that died so that our old woman could be? No, it's the devil. Amen?
Amen.
It's not scriptural, girls. It's not scriptural. All right, then what? Okay, and that goes for you women livers out there. Unless you want to claim that Satan was a woman. And that's still unscriptural. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
And second, when we apply the death of the cross to whatever is lived out from our soul life, whether it be good or bad, that is dealing with the flesh.
Read that again.
And second, when we apply the death of the cross to whatever is lived out from our soul life, whether it be good or bad, that is dealing with the flesh. Mm-hmm. Third, dealing with the flesh includes also dealing with the temper. Fourth, when we apply the death of the cross to our opinions and ideas, that is dealing with self or bearing the cross. Fifth, when we apply the death of the cross to our maneuvering, capability, ability, methods, wisdom, and knowledge, that is dealing with the natural constitution or the breaking of the cross.
Okay, go back and read the line before that.
Fifth, when we apply the death of the cross to our maneuvering, capability.
See, when it's your maneuvering, when you're walking in self or flesh, people never know who you are from one day to the next. Who are you today? Are you the tiger or the dragon? Or are you the little lamb? Hmm? If you feel like the dragon today, well, then you better apply the cross to that dragon. Amen?
Amen.
That old red dragon. All right, then go ahead.
Capability, ability, methods, wisdom, and knowledge. That is dealing with the natural constitution or the breaking of the cross.
See, people, a lot of people's natural constitution is one day they're dragons or devils, and the next day they're like little lambs. And so, you know, you'll feel like asking them, who are you today? You know, it's like a guard at the, one where I used to guard the TBMs over in the Navy, say, are you friend or foe? I want to know whether to shoot you or to pat you on the head. All right, then what? Now, of course, we don't use guns anymore. That was back when I was in the Navy, 16 years old. All right, then what? How did I get in the Navy 16 years old? Well, I was unsaved and I was a liar. I lied my age. All right, then what else?
I mean the breaking of the cross. I mean the breaking of the cross. In other words, it is the cross, the Holy Spirit, that breaks us. Breaks us.
Yeah, yeah. So, see, if the breaking of the cross means that the cross breaks you, I mean, the Spirit breaks you. So, people think of the cross as a couple of pieces of boards or wood, but the cross is the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
It gives you the power, the strength to go through whatever you're going through with power, or they call it grace. The grace of God means the power of God. God. It doesn't mean undeserved favor. Because evidently the Lord felt that people deserved the power of God, otherwise he wouldn't have died to give it to us. And if we receive it, then we deserve it. But if you don't receive it, well, it's for sure you don't deserve it, and you're not going to have it. And then what else?
In other words, it is the cross, the Holy Spirit, that breaks us, breaks the self to pieces.
All right, that was part four of dealing with self, and that was 1 Samuel 31, with a summary, and until chapter 1 of 2 Samuel, or the outline, the beginning of it, until part 5 of dealing with the self. This is Tony Alamo, your pastor, saying concentrate, meditate, that is, on the Lord and these things, and on realizing, keep concentrating and remembering that the Lord has crucified your old man, and so don't discard the things that the Lord has done for you. Live according to the Spirit. Let the cross, the Spirit of God, break you in Jesus' name. This is Tony Alamo, your pastor, saying, praise the Lord, and God bless you.